Now we're going to have two readings. The first one's read by Jane.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
And a second reading, quite a short one, from the first letter to the Thessalonians, about believers who have died. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Father, we ask now that you would speak through Helen to our hearts. May we hear your true voice to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm quite expecting to sing on my own, so I trust that you'll bear with me. But it is a privilege for me to be here today to share with you, in the presence of God, some of my own journey of remembering those very close to me whom I have lost. Recently, I have been reflecting over the events of the past year, and like for all of us, it has been a most unexpected year. 1 year ago, we were still living in our house in Colchester that had been our home for 37 years. I was also travelling regularly to care for my mother some distance away, who was still living in what had been my family home for nearly 70 years. Some of us have been bereaved very recently in the last year or two. For others, we are also remembering those who have died some years ago. Yet all of us want to reflect on the impact these loved ones had on our lives, the good times and the bad times, the legacy of how they moulded part of who we are, and to honour them. My husband knows that I'm a fan of the series called The Midwife, and he bought me the box set for Christmas. During lockdown, I was watching one of the later series where they went back to the cold, snowy winter of 1963. I remember that winter well. I was 12 years old. I reflected that my father built us a wooden sledge, and we went to join others on the snowy slopes behind our house. Unfortunately, the sledge just would not slide. It was so disappointing. Little did I know that within 3 months, my father would be dead from a massive heart attack. He was only 48. And left my mother aged 42 with 4 children aged between 6 and 14. That was the first time I had known any major loss in my life, and it impacted my teenage years with a greyness that I shall never forget, and gave me a fierce independence growing up that has not always been very helpful to me. We are all in different stages on our journey of grieving for our loved ones and missing them, and we realise that things don't necessarily get better over time, they just become different. Both my children were born here in Mark's Tay, Anna in 1978 and then Susie in 1980. We moved to Colchester a couple of years later. During our preparations to move house again last November, I had begun to declutter. Whilst clearing out a cupboard, I found myself looking through old birthday cards, Mother's Day and Father's Day cards from our children, and once again found myself on the path of remembering. Nothing prepares you for the death of one of your own children. Our eldest daughter, Anna, died at the age of 17 after a 4-year battle with cancer. Now, looking at the card she had given us when she was younger and seeing her handwriting again and the kind little messages she wrote, made me for a moment experience those same feelings of deep sadness that I'd had when she died. Our family and future life together had been torn apart and would never be the same again. But the fact that we're all here today means that we acknowledge in some way that God is intimately involved in our lives and the lives of those closest to us. For our loved ones who have died, we have to trust that God, in his infinite love and wisdom and mercy and kindness, has made the right decision concerning their eternal future. But we are the ones left behind. As I continued to remember, this time it was for my sister, who died nearly 5 years ago. She and I were only a year apart, and we were very close, and she died suddenly and unexpectedly. She was the only one of my three sisters who had not married, and she still lived near to my then 96-year-old mother. This was some 80 miles away, so she was my mother's main support. I'd only been talking with her on the telephone one Sunday evening, saying that I'd be coming over on the Wednesday to help her and that I'd be coming more frequently in future. The next morning, however, my mother found my sister dead in her flat. She had been the victim of the sudden onset of a very rare and fatal condition. It was a shock, especially for my mother who found her. And I found myself asking again the inevitable question, why? I felt sorry for my mother at the time because people were telling her that the wrong person had died, implying that it should have been my mother. This upset her greatly, and I heard myself saying, no, God does not make a mistake. My sister would have found it very hard to cope if it had been you who had died. I then found myself turning to a different kind of remembering. I started to reflect on my journey of faith, which had begun some 38 years before, when I lived here in Mark's Tay. Jesus tells his disciples in our first Bible reading not to be troubled or afraid. He tells them to believe in God and also in him, and that he is the way to God the Father. I reflected that the conscious decision I had made to believe in Jesus and trust everything to him was the turning point of my life, and that through believing in Jesus, I had started on a different journey, that of knowing the Father heart of God, a God who is always kind, always loving and just and forgiving and comforting, who never makes a mistake, and who causes all things to work for good with those who love him. This, over the years, had been my experience, and it was timely now to remind myself of these truths. And so I was now back to reflecting on the past year. On this very day last year, my mother was admitted to hospital with pneumonia and heart failure. She was desperately trying to hang on to life, but it was not to be, and she died the day before Christmas Eve. Still active and with a keen mind, she would have been 100 early next year. Then a month after my mother's funeral, my aunt, who lived near my mother and who was still very active, suffered a massive stroke and sadly died a week later. These were not untimely deaths, but both events, being so close together, were sudden and a shock. We were grateful to have had the opportunity of holding funeral services that celebrated their lives. My heart goes out to those of you who have lost someone during the current COVID restrictions and all the additional heartache that must have brought you. Death is an enemy. It takes away from us people we love dearly They can never be replaced. We can never be the same. Our lives take on a new shape over a period of time, but we still miss them. What I have learned, however, is that the happiness found in the things of this world is temporary. I may find new happiness, but to depend on this happiness is fragile. It does not provide me with a solid hope that looks into eternity. In our second reading, the Apostle Paul says that he does not want them to grieve like those who have no hope. He says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again. I have come to understand that this is the key. Jesus did not merely die, but he rose again from the dead and shows the way to hope." The Apostle Paul is real about the grief and sorrow that death brings. That grief is not selfish. It is normal. And yet there is a promise here of grief and hope, sorrow and joy. Grief, but not hopelessness. Sorrow, but not despairing. I'm on a journey of understanding that Jesus' resurrection is the winning of the war that trumps the losing of the battle in death, and that by trusting my life and the life of my loved ones into Jesus' hands and committing to follow him, I can share this hope that he also wants to share with every one of us as a free gift, a hope which brings his peace and joy deep into our spirits, a light into our darkness, and also a light for our path of ongoing new life in him. Most especially in this particular time of so much loss and uncertainty. Our next hymn explains this hope very well. I introduced my mother to this hymn in the months before she died. It meant a great deal to her, and I recently found the copy that I'd given her, used as a bookmark in one of her treasured books. We had this hymn at her funeral. And so in a moment, we will stand and reflect as we listen to the words, "There is a hope that burns within my heart." Thank you.